This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 420, recorded Wednesday, December 5th, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. You missed your cue.
I know. It's...
Is it because we missed last week?
No, it's just, it's not a good day.
Okay. Well, I will try to cheer you up.
Good luck with that.
Okay. I said I'd try and say I'd succeed.
Yep.
Well,
good luck with that.
Well, because you did not join me on that challenge last week, we did not win.
How far did you get?
Let's see. Three parks cleared. 36 out of 46.
It's not bad. Probably not cool to blame that on me, though.
No, I'm saying that I have so much faith in you that if you were there, I'm sure that you would have helped us power through. I'm not blaming you. I'm complimenting you here.
No. What I heard was, because you weren't there, we failed. That's blaming it on me.
But I will tell you that it was a long day. It started at 5:45 in the morning. And
sounds like fun.
I don't know. Are you volunteering to try it next time?
Not so much.
Okay, I'm not sure I'm ever going to agree to do that again. I have not been on a roller coaster for 20 years, and I went on entirely too many in a day. I was on Primeval Whirl. I was on Expedition Everest. I was on the Tower of Terror, the Rockin' Roller Coaster, the Slinky Dog Dash. Anyway, so what did you do in my absence of a Android or home automation nature?
I built a new computer.
Okay. How is it running?
Right now I'm overloading it. Well, I've shut down everything, but I have been overloading it, which is kind of impressive considering the machine.
Well, that's what I was asking, because if you built a new machine, shouldn't you not be able to overload it so easily?
Well, some quick specs. It's a AMD 2950X, so 16 cores and 32 threads. It's running about 4 gigahertz. 32 gig of RAM. It's got those NVMe drives in it. 3 1 terabyte drives. Two of them are RAID 0 together. So when I ran the Crystal Disk benchmark thingy for my system drive, it gives me 3.5 gigabytes a second sequential. And my RAID 1, it's just under 6 gigabytes a second, which is much better than my SSDs, which give me about 500 megabytes a second.
What exactly are you trying to do that you're using up all of this potential? Are you trying to... I'm trying to think of something that would require a lot of computing power. Are you trying to...
I'm just working.
I'm wondering what you're working on. Are you trying to solve the mysteries of the universe or something?
No. I am just trying to write an audio server.
Okay. Anyway.
Makes you feel any better, it's this particular audio server is serving up a little over 1,000 streams at once with 5,000 listeners distributed among them.
I hope they're all enjoying the music.
Oh, and it's also customizing each stream to each individual listener. on the fly.
That can be fun. Do you have a stream for me for the holidays?
No.
No. Oh, well. I didn't pay for Sirius this year, so I don't get a week of Hanukkah radio.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I have my own. I just added to it. I am continuing to up my collection of Hanukkah-themed tracks. Would you believe that I'm up to over 150 in Hanukkah songs?
Wow. That's impressive.
We all need a hobby.
Yep.
I use them to tune out Christmas songs when I go shopping. Anyway. So I did some home automation stuff. So we had our last conversation. It would have been the 23rd.
Something like that.
Okay. No, it was the Wednesday before last, which was just before Thanksgiving. Yeah, it would have been the 21st. So that was the day before Thanksgiving. I did a lot of work around here for Thanksgiving. I moved my desk. So where I'm recording is still in the same room that I've been recording in for most of this podcast, but
is it more comfortable?
It's in transitional phase. It's part of a long-term plan that involves making a hole in the wall and sealing up another hole in the wall.
Ooh.
I think I mentioned it's my air conditioning system. Just sort of in passing. Anyway, that's for the spring, but I have plenty of time to get the furniture into the right position before I need to make holes in the wall. So as part of this, I'm doing a bunch of rewiring in stages. And I've been doing some things related to my home automation setup. The last time we spoke, the computer running the entire house and the Home Assistant instance was to the right of the desk. It's now to the left of the desk.
Ooh, exciting.
If you know what that did to the number of wires I was able to make shorter, yes. But the big work I did was mostly in software. So I started cleaning up a lot of my automations and updating them.
Ooh, how so?
Well, when you start changing things, suddenly names change and other things change, and you have to sort of go back through and realize, wait a minute, that doesn't work exactly the way I designed it to. So I cleaned up all of this redundant stuff, got rid of it, put the configuration under version control again so I could remember what I did.
Excellent.
And unfortunately, I still have problems with the fan in this room, which has a Zigbee controller in it but keeps failing.
Hmm.
Also, I continue to add additional wiring. So I'm continuing my flash inexpensive Sonoff devices and litter them around the house. So I started wiring them into lights. Specifically the lights that have buttons.
Right.
So every time a light has a button, I've been taking the button off and replacing it with a Sonoff basic.
Okay.
So I'll have pretty much every light here. And I'm trying to figure out, and I'm going to ask, because this is a question that comes up very often in home automation, for reasons I don't understand. Should you automate the lights in your bathroom?
Sure.
Well, it's one of the only switches I haven't replaced. I do need to do some wiring for one last remaining light in the side of my kitchen, but it's the only three-way that I have in my apartment, so that's a little more complicated. Three-way lighting and home automation has always been troublesome because you have to change how the... I want to give myself extra time in case I have a problem, and I haven't had sure. extra time because I was out of town. And some more cleaning, because when you move the furniture, you find a lot of junk.
That you do.
So beyond that, to continue my experimentation, I also bought a soldering iron. And some stuff.
Is that going well?
No, I've been too busy to play with it. Although, you know, those holidays that you probably care about more than me are coming up.
Okay.
And they always make me take off from work. So if I have a day and all the stores are closed, maybe I'll try to avoid burning down my house while playing with burning electronics equipment.
Sounds like fun.
Why not? I have a breadboard, so I can make sure everything works properly before I solder it. I'm excited. If I actually learn how to be good at this, I can build my own stuff instead of trying to hack together things from other people.
That's true.
I want sensors. I like. Anyway, I do have a project to turn on cameras in my house using a switch whenever it detects that I'm not in the house, but I have to make some updates to my presence detection.
Yep. Presence detection's hard.
Well, there's a new one that I'm really amused by. If you've been following Home Assistant, which, as you know, is what I talk about a lot because it's what I use for everything, in the last version, they put in one new presence detection item that's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's the Google Home presence detector. Do you have a Google Home?
I do not yet, but one is on the way from Spotify.
Okay, so just like the mini?
Yep.
Okay, so the if you have a Google Home, they have an unofficial Google Home API that somebody found.
Right.
And one of the things the API can do is scan for Bluetooth devices. So somebody made an integration where you can read the Bluetooth devices being scanned by your Google Home, the regular, the mini, and then use that as a presence detection device.
Interesting.
Well, you have it. It's already in your house, and you don't have to deploy it.
True.
The only problem I discovered was the way that they are recorded in the tracking system was a little annoying.
How so?
Well, so most of the devices that come from other trackers, they have, you know, the MAC address, maybe a name if it's broadcasting one.
Yeah.
And you can sort of customize it. We can do with this. But by default, the name, the MAC address shows up. The MAC address, the name, and the actual entity ID are all the IP address of the Google Home plus. So not only that, part of the problem with this is I have more than one Google Home, which means it was each Google Home was detecting the same device if they were within range of each other, but they were assigning it a different known ID, even though they both have the same MAC address. And one of the things that Home Assistant hasn't done yet, although they say they're going to do it, is deduplication.
Well, that seems like it could be useful. I have, you can, because you can create groups, right?
Yeah.
So you could dedupe that, but also, depending on which one is detected, it would also tell you not only that you're in the house, but where in the house you are.
Yeah. But Home Assistant has other things for that. They do have room presence detection, so there's other opportunities here. But I think this is sort of early in this tracker, if I'm not the only one who's sort of annoyed that it doesn't work as well when you're using multiple Google Homes, then it may be tweaked in a future version. I can't imagine that I have to go look at the forums, though. But I am all in on my Google Homing. I have my Lenovo smart display in one room.
So we're dumping the Amazon offering.
Well, I only had some dots. Admittedly, at one point I did have a show in here, but that was a loaner.
Mm-hmm.
My mother bought it, and she left when she was out of town. She had me put it in my apartment so that she can call me and annoyingly want to spend time with me on a voice device. I'm saying annoyingly not because I have a problem spending time with her, but there's something weird about your relative wanting you to not video chat with them, but just have the video on while you're in two different rooms doing your own. Anyway.
Interesting.
Makes me uncomfortable. But
sure.
But I did get the Lenovo smart display because, one, I happen to like the Google ecosystem better, and I use the screen acts like a photo frame, and I've also been using it since I put it in my bedroom, and it does have a lens cap, so even though there's a camera, I can disable it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using it when I'm cleaning to sort of have something to watch in the background or listen to. So I have a television in my bedroom, but I almost never use it. This has made me think I might as well just take the thing out.
Huh.
Well, I didn't buy one for the bedroom. It's just, it was an old one that I put in there.
Yeah.
It'd be somewhere else. So I'm thinking I might just go find another place for it. Maybe give it to a relative.
Cool.
But I'm trying that whole simplification thing. I have too much junk, and I keep accumulating more junk. In fact, sitting here, I noticed the piece of junk I can throw out. It's paper, but it's still junk. It's sitting on the desk in front of me. So there were some interesting things that happened over the last week and a half. For example, if you use Google's Find My Device, it can now map out exactly where you left your phone in certain buildings.
In certain buildings?
Well, ones where they have an interior map.
Huh.
So that would be public spaces and other places. I doubt that they have a map of your home, so finding it in there probably wouldn't work.
Interesting.
Let's see. Google Assistant has added broadcast replies, lyrics, and Pretty Please. I have not tried Pretty Please yet.
The broadcast replies seem odd. And that, don't you have to type the replies in?
What do you mean by type?
As I read it, you respond to the broadcast on your phone.
Yeah.
Meaning you have to type it in.
On the phone side.
Yep.
Yeah, so that means that if you have the device can communicate with the phone. But on the phone side, they reply by keyboard and can see transcripts of the conversation. So you, the smart display side talks, and the phone side types.
So you can respond to a broadcast from a home via voice.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then I misunderstood.
That's how I read it. I haven't tested this feature. I probably should test more of these things. But I'm just looking at the picture, which is actually of the Lenovo Smart Display. The Play Store is now showing reminders to install previously used apps. I noticed this before the article that I found talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little annoying because if I wanted the app installed, I would install the app.
Yep.
Why does it have to remind me? I wish there was a setting to turn this off. Because a lot of the apps I previously used, I uninstalled because I didn't want them.
Yep.
And YouTube has hit 5 billion installs.
That's a lot.
I find myself, as I said, I've been using YouTube in my bedroom while I'm cleaning in there. And it's been working out very nicely. That's where I catch up on random pundits talking about random things. For example, earlier this evening, I was watching a video where somebody was showing a demo of two new MQTT-enabled products that are coming out from a company called Shelly.
Are they vacuum cleaners?
Well, Shelly makes these MQTT very hobbyist-type switches. They're somewhat similar to the Sonoff type device. They use the same chip. But they're coming out with two new devices, the Shelly HT, which is apparently a humidity and temperature sensor that can either go to their cloud or go to, you can have it go to your local server. And it runs off of a battery. And the other one is a similar device, but it's a smoke detector.
Interesting. Yeah. I like the smoke detector. MQTT, that's nice.
So if I read, because I looked it up afterwards, and the person who did the review look. So Shelly is, Shelly.cloud. and they make some products. The Shelly 1 and 2 are available on Amazon, which are their currently available products, but they appear to be improving their product line. So the Shelly 1 is an open source Wi-Fi switch. Open source is in the software is freely available, and you can put other software on it. They have the Shelly 2, which is a dual switch. They apparently have a smart plug. They have something called the Shelly Sense. I'm just looking at their site because the Shelly Sense is an all-in-one Wi-Fi smart sensor. Promising. It's a universal remote controller, a light sensor, a humidity sensor, a temperature sensor, a motion detector, and a up to 10-day battery life.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah, I wonder where I can get one of those, because I'd play with that, especially if you can. Yeah, you can order one now. I'm just looking to see the price on this item. 99 euro. And it's out of stock. Okay, I could do better than 99 euro. But...
that's about what, 130 bucks?
Not that, quite that bad. 99 euro is, I think, 117. Give or take. I deal with euro a lot, but I do not memorize exchange rates. Now, the one I mentioned, the Shelly HT, is being offered for pre-order at about 1990 euro, which, again, probably $22-23. Normal list price of probably about $5 more, if I'm reading their pricing. And this new smoke and temperature sensor is coming in at a starting price pre-order now. You can get 40 euro, so let's just say about $45 or 105 for a three-pack.
Hmm.
There's one thing I can say about home automation. Sometimes it isn't cheap. Admittedly, I'm on the cheaper side of items that I choose to purchase. But, you know, it does add up.
It does.
I have to order some more of those Xiaomi sensors that come on a slow boat from China. And the between now and the 4 weeks when they'll get here, I'll probably be ready to install them. I actually have a Xiaomi temperature sensor that when I first bought it didn't work, but the software has caught up, so it is now recording temperature. I'm using it to, I have a ventilation problem in there.
Mm.
So I actually can tell you right now, let's see, how's my bathroom doing today? By the way, that is perhaps the most boring sensor you could think of. What's the temperature in my bathroom? Oh, we're at only 33.7% humidity. See, what I have to figure out is because when the humidity sharply rises in my bathroom, it means I'm taking a shower, what I can interestingly do with the fact that I'm taking a shower. I can't think of anything interesting to do with that. But anyway.
You could turn the hot water heater off.
Oh, I don't have control of my hot water heater.
Oh.
Are you planning on having a smart hot water heater in your future home?
It, I wouldn't call it smart. It's one of those gas-fired on-the-fly type water heaters.
Oh. I've always wanted to play with one of those.
So it is, you know, smart in the sense that it only heats water up when water is flowing.
Yeah, but I know some of those cannot power an entire house or cannot supply hot water, to be more accurate, to an entire house. But I assume you received expert advice and got one that was proportional to your need. I remember reading that in some places you have to have an auxiliary unit closer to certain areas.
The house has two of them, one for each side of the house.
Okay, so you have enough to cover it.
Well, we'll see.
When this house opens, I'm going to have to come down and see it.
You are welcome to.
Well, as you know, I was really close recently. But I have never been to Jacksonville, so someday I will have to visit. Let's see, where were we? Android Auto added new media tools, and they now have message previews when stopped. I have not seen the message previews when stopped, but I did actually see the new media.
Cool.
I like Android Auto when it doesn't fail. But I think that may just be the aftermarket unit I bought. So, let's see. The FCC is preparing to redefine text messaging as an information service.
Meaning... now that text messaging is pretty much free everywhere now. Sure.
Yeah, but it's another thing that is no longer regulated. So the telecom industry has wanted additional deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you run traditional telephone service, you know, plain old telephone wire, then you're subject to some obligations as if you were a utility in terms of serving people. Whereas if you do your telephone over the internet, even though it is the same basic service, you do not have the same level of requirement. So the telephone companies would like to be regulated as lightly as the cable companies.
Sure.
So all of these companies keep pushing for less regulation and more control on their own. Now, there are certainly different philosophies of government as to whether or not that's good or bad. But a lot of what I see is bad. I think the regulations desperately need to be updated, but updated is different than completely getting rid of them. The Telecommunications Act doesn't really cover a lot of things because they didn't exist when the Telecommunication Act was written. But people deserve the right to have access mandated to emergency services and anything life-saving. Anyway, I will get off my soapbox for a second. So Google Fi has expanded. Are you excited about this, Jerry? I know you aren't on Fi at the moment, but are you excited about this development?
I would be, but not anymore. I mean,
You're excited from a distance.
I am. I'm glad to see that Google Fi is... See, now it might even be viable as an option for my family, since iPhones can now be used.
The only thing is that the carrier hopping part of it is limited to supported devices.
Sure.
So if you don't have a supported device, you will be limited to a single. So let's see what else we have here. Oh yes. Apparently there is now a Amazon Echo enabled Big Mouth Bass.
Isn't that just the coolest thing?
Yeah, so this is the Big Mouth Billy Bass. This is one of those singing fish that people used to get. You'd hang it on the wall, you'd press a button, and the fish would sing. Now it's on the wall. The fish not only can sing, but it has an echo built in, so you can talk to the fish, and the fish will talk back. I think it's very clever, though. You know, you know what I'm afraid of, though.
What's that?
Someone's going to buy this for me.
Tell them that you need the Google Home version.
Yes, because I really want the Google voice coming out of a Big Mouth Bass. Maybe a little, maybe like a little figurine. Would be interesting. There's an update on Fast Pairing, which is a Google attempt to better control Bluetooth.
Sure.
So this is going to get this into more devices, as well as Chromebooks. And, of course, finally, out of the things I found, apparently next year may be the last year to use the classic version of Hangouts.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I like Hangouts. I'm really annoyed when a product that I have no problem with that serves the need that I use it for gets discontinued. I seriously doubt that I'm the only person using Hangouts.
I doubt that too.
So they've decided that originally the reporting on this suggested that it would be shut down. Apparently they'll be migrating people to Hangouts Meet, which is their Slack competitor. Because if I really wanted to be in a Slack chat room, you know what I would use?
Slack?
Yes.
That's what I'd use.
Yes, but I like one-on-one messaging. That's why I use one-on-one messaging. And I can go over to another platform, but increasingly these platforms want you to do your identity based on your phone number.
Mm-hmm.
I like having my identity based on an account.
I do too.
Yeah. So if you know of any alternatives, I'll start experimenting now. Because remember, once they take out the part of Hangouts that allows us to have this conversation, we're going to have to migrate to something. It'll probably still be a Google product because I run this podcast off of a Chromebook, but still.
Well, they're sunsetting Google Allo, right?
Yeah, but I never felt emotionally invested in Allo.
Right.
I don't think anybody did. That's why they got rid of it.
True enough. True that.
And it was also one where you had to have a phone number.
It's just annoying.
Yeah. You like something and they take it away. But since I mentioned Chromebooks, I do have one Chromebook story that is somewhat related.
Ooh, a Chromebook story.
So I have a Chromebook that I got refurbished that folds over into sort of a tablet-like device and runs Android apps. So I use it like a gigantic Android tablet. And I took it on that trip to Europe that I took. You remember I left the country, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when I went to pack it, because I was going to take it on the trip to Orlando to use in the room on Tuesday night, it wouldn't turn on. So when I came back and recovered, by the way, don't walk 17 miles in a day if you can help it. Although you walk more than I do, so you probably would have been better with it. I couldn't get the thing to turn on. I kept playing with it. And then on Monday night, I started looking for suggestions online, and I found one that worked. So in order to get this computer to turn back on again, I had to open up the bottom of the computer, disconnect the battery from the motherboard, plug the computer in, turn the computer on, then plug the battery in.
That's weird.
Yeah, but apparently, if the battery completely discharges, that is the only way to turn it back on. So I can do that. I don't want to do that. But what happens to the normal person who is not going to want to unplug the battery from the motherboard on a computer that does not have a removable battery in order to get the thing working again?
Buy a new one?
I don't want to buy a new one. You try to find a touchscreen Chromebook with a 360-degree hinge for $130. I jumped on that because that's exactly what I needed. So that's my story of what I've been up to, and I'm hoping to have more home automation tales as the week progresses. I wasn't able to do very much except sit in a chair since I got back. That's why I did some cleanup of my home automation code and put it under version control, but I do have some projects that involve me moving around. I couldn't walk very well on Thursday and Friday. But the question I have to ask you is, what's next for you? You've been planning out all this great stuff for your upcoming home. Any new developments that you're thinking about doing? You told me that you hadn't done anything, but is there anything you're thinking about?
Well, money's getting kind of tight, so we're going to take the home automation a little bit slower than originally planned.
Which is fine. If you leave the bones for some of these projects,
mm-hmm.
you know, have the wiring there, put in channels in the wall so you could pull something through without having to make a hole. If you do smart things like that, then you can put those things in later.
Sure, we've got the wires run for there's Two Cat 5 cables going to all of the rooms, and some rooms have, multiple points where two cables run. We have Cat 6 run to outlets to some outlets in the ceiling where we'll put access points. So, I mean, I think we should be good to go as far as inside the wall wiring.
Yeah, so everything else is just about things you can do later.
Yep.
As long as you make sure you're set up so you don't have to make holes in the wall as much as possible. That's always a good thing.
Absolutely. I did notice, those RGB triangles?
I've heard of them. I've never actually seen one.
Well, they're coming out with RGB squares, the same company is. So I'm kind of excited for those.
RGB square light.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen them.
The Nano Leafs.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen them.
They're coming out with squares now. That should be cool.
I
I
look
like
forward
the
to seeing
squares
pictures of
better
all
than the
this.
triangles.
But I look forward to seeing pictures of all this. And one of these days, I may take some pictures of what I'm doing when it looks clean enough for me to take pictures.
All right.
When I invite people to my home, I should at least straighten up. Even if it's a picture of my home. So until next week, unless something happens next week, do you have any concerns?
Nope.
Okay.
Not podcast related.
Well, whatever else is going on, I hope it works itself out.
Me too.
Okay. Well, until next week.
You have a good day.